My parents had different ideas about Christmas morning. Dad had been up and lit the family fireplace, and the lights in the tree were on. And I couldn't believe what I saw, the gifts all piled up. He's like, let me at it. Let me find out which one's mine. How selfish at that time. But
first, to be quite orderly about things, they had to have breakfast. And that meant waiting. And then Dad would say, you know, let's read the Christmas story together. How long is this going to be? Well, Dad would open up Matthew chapter 1, read that chapter. He'd read chapter 2. He'd also read the account of John the Baptist in chapter 3. And then he said, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Oh, when will this ever get through? And he even read the genealogies. I thought that was boring at the time, and could hardly wait to rip open that first gift. You ever have moments like that where you just wish you get right to it and bypass all this other? Well, I'll tell you what. We're taking care of the reading bit Christmas Eve. So if you come Christmas Eve, you will hear the complete Christmas story in toto. So be with us that night. But there was that lengthy reading, and I would say, oh, can't we just get around that? Well, those traditional Christmas stories, where do we find the stories about Christmas? Well, I've just told you, Matthew and Luke. What happened to the other Gospels? I'll explain. You see, Christ is portrayed in different ways in each of the four Gospels. Do you know how he's portrayed in Matthew? He's portrayed as king. And why do they have the genealogy listed? Well, because all of us are sort of interested in the line of a king, aren't we? How did he get to be king? So we go back. In fact, that genealogy goes right back to David, back to Abraham. Now, in the account of Luke, oh, we'll come to that in a second. The book of Mark, that's next to the Gospels. How is Jesus portrayed in Mark? He's portrayed as a servant. Anybody here interested in the lineage of a servant? Not really. You know, Mark cuts to the chase. He talks a little bit about John the Baptist in chapter 1, but that's all there is. Nobody's really interested in the descendants of a servant. And that's how the Lord Jesus came, another aspect of his coming. Then you come to Luke. Ah, I love reading Luke. Wonderful story in Luke. And Jesus is portrayed as the Son of Man. There are lots of my acquaintances who love to track the family tree. And so the family tree is traced in the book of Luke all the way back to the very first man that ever lived, Adam. In Matthew, you have Joseph's lineage. And if you notice, there's a divergence because in Luke, there is Mary's genealogy. And if you remember, the kingly line was through David, and then there was Solomon, and then there was his son Rehoboam, but Solomon goofed up with his life. He sinned against God, and God said, I'm going to tear the kingdom away from your family. And so come the Babylonian captivity when Judah was carried away by the Babylonians. That was really the end of the dynasty. But then you see in Mary's genealogy found in Luke, there is another brother to Solomon whose name is Nathan. And it's through that line the Lord Jesus not only has his regal right to be king, but also the physical right. Now we come to the book of John. How is Jesus portrayed in John? Well, Matthew's king, Mark is servant, Luke is son of man. What's left? Son of, you got it, God. Son of God. Now, John doesn't mention the birth of Jesus. John doesn't mention Bethlehem. Doesn't mention Nazareth. Doesn't mention the shepherds. Doesn't mention the wise men. Why does John cut around that and go right to the signs and the sayings of Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is God, and God has no family before him.
Jesus Christ is self-existent. The book of Revelation says in chapter 1, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am. Jesus is who was, who is to come. We say, Pastor, the title of this morning's message is The Christmas Story in John's Gospel. So, where is mention of the Advent or Christmas in the Gospel of John? There is one. Turn, please. I'm glad you asked that question. Turn, please, John chapter 6. I'm going to read you several verses here. And I hope that you, in reading these verses, you'll get the picture because it's very, very plain. Starting at verse 33, I read as follows. For the bread of God is he who comes down from... Oh. The bread of God is he, talking about a person, who comes down from heaven. Read verse 38. Jesus speaking here, for I have come down... From where, class? From heaven. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven. Verse 50 and 51. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. One more, verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. The Lord is come. Here is Christmas announced in the book of John. I have come down from heaven. Going back to the account written in Luke, it's a wonderful, wonderful account. But if you remember that familiar reading, if you want to go back and flip through that just a second here, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The Lord is come. Jesus came to this world at just the right moment, and he used a man like Caesar Augustus to issue a certain decree so that a man named Joseph with his espoused wife Mary would have to go back to a certain city and there to be registered. How ironic, how coincidental. But God used that to take Joseph back to his own town of origin. It's where the family came from. There to register his military eligibility. That's what they did in Rome. Every 14 years, they had a new census. Military eligibility and also the tax rolls were updated. It's important to keep that tax dollar coming, right? So, all the males had to go back and be registered. Now, Mary didn't have to go. But when the males registered, they had to register their name, their occupation, their property, and their family. The date that that occurred was divinely appointed. You say, how do you know that? What do you know about Christmas? Oh, we celebrate Christmas December 25th. Is that the day that Jesus was born? Well, tradition says so it was. In fact, a man by Hippolytus, he said it's December 25th for sure. And then there was some in Eastern culture that celebrated, I think, January 6th. But then John Chrysostom, in the 4th century, said, this is the date, let's stick by it. And so we've all celebrated December 25th ever since. But does it really matter to us as believers? What matters is that Jesus came. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God